This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magadan. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
If you would, just go with me to 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings, book of 2 Kings. And we're going to look at chapter number 20. And we're going to parade and peruse the periphery of verse number 1 through verse number 7 for time's sake. Amen. Amen. And I know a lot of times people mention this scripture, but you rarely hear people just take a text and preach from it. Amen. But I do believe that there's a word from the Lord this morning. When you have that, 2 Kings chapter 20, and you're looking at verse number 1, I want you to say with me, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. The prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus said the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Verse 7. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it upon the boil, and he recovered. May God utter the blessing on those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Want to give a title, tag, or a topic here and a thought just for your hearing and understanding. Amen. To give you some direction of where we're going. Your condition is not your conclusion. Amen. Thanking God for all of you, this music ministry, the deacons, deaconesses, my wife, family, friends, all of you, visitors, Living Word Ministry Church family, grace from our Father and his peace. Let his peace be multiplied in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Your condition is not your conclusion. When we look at the book of 2 Kings, we understand that it was the chronicles of the kings from the prophet's point of view. When you look at 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Kings was a book, but it was so much they had to put put it on two different parchments, so they ended up being two books, 1 and 2 Kings. But when we look at 1 and 2 Kings, and then you look at 1 and 2 Chronicles, there are a lot of similarities because they are the writings about what happened in the lives of the kings. Now, what you have to understand, the kings of Israel, they had their own chronicles written, and that's where you have 1 and 2 Chronicles. That's why when you read 1 and 2 Chronicles, you don't see all of the mistakes and all the bad stuff, because the kings had power to write that according to how they wanted it to sound. But then 1 and 2 Kings was written by the prophet's point of view. All right? So if 1 and 2 Kings is written by the prophet's point of view, it'll give you all the stuff that you don't see in 1 and 2 Chronicles. You'll get all the bad stuff that some of them did, like Manasseh and some of the others who were kings of Israel. Manasseh happened to be Hezekiah's son, and he was not a good king. He was a bad king. Amen? But when we look at this, we understand that Hezekiah was the king of Judah, and he was a good king. He wasn't like some of the others. His father was Ahaz, and you know, you had some of the other kings that were not so good. You'd have some bad ones and some good ones, but the kingdom of Judah cleaved more to doing the will of God than the kingdom of Israel. They were two separate kingdoms now, because after the death of Solomon, they had some brothers that couldn't get along, and one wanted to be king and the other one wanted to be king, and then you had Israel just split up. So you had 10 tribes on one side, and then you had the others with Judah. Amen. You had Judah. And so that was the original kingdom that David first began to reign over at Hebron when he became king. So Hezekiah was definitely a descendant of David, and now he was king. But Hezekiah, even though he was a good man, he had some crisis in his life. Even though he tried to do the right thing by taking down high places and doing away with idol worship, he still had some obstacles in his life that we would have looked at him and say, Hezekiah must have done something wrong. Mm-hmm. Well, Hezekiah, he didn't actually do a lot of things wrong. Now, he had some stuff that he did wrong. If you finish reading this entire chapter of chapter 20, he got built up in pride one day, and he showed the Babylonians all of the riches that he had. And sooner or later, they came and they took it all from him after he showed them. That's why you got to be careful who you show all your good stuff to. Amen. Because there's a devil looking to take what you got. Amen. And so Hezekiah, he was a pretty decent man. He was a good king, and he had been under pressure because the Assyrians had taken, had been ruling basically Israel, because Hezekiah's father had begun to pay tribute to him, and there was a great taxation on the people. But Hezekiah believed in the Lord, and he did not believe that they should serve anybody else but God. And a lot of times we serve a lot of things. Amen. I passed the car wash this morning and they was shining up their rise. And I said, boy, look at them gods over there. They were worshiping their gods this morning and forgetting that they had to go worship the God. Amen. Oh, Lord, help me today. Well, when I think about it, it's a whole bunch of things that we serve tribute to, that we shouldn't be serving tribute to. In other words, what happened, Hezekiah in his day, he got tired of the people having a heavy tribute that they had to pay to Assyrians when they themselves were suffering. And sometimes we pay tribute to a whole lot of stuff and we suffer because of it. Amen. But Hezekiah, that wasn't his only problem. He had a problem where his city had become under siege. And when it became under siege, they would not let anything go in or out of the city. But Hezekiah, being a godly man, God gave him a godly plan. Preach. When you're a godly person, God gives you a plan to get through whatever it is that Satan has tried to bring in your life. But you have to listen to what God is saying. Hezekiah decided that we're going to dig a tunnel. And he digged a tunnel, and he got these men together, and they digged the tunnel. And you know, it's amazing, because I've been in the tunnel. When I went to Israel, I went in the tunnel. And you can't really just stand up in the tunnel. You have to kind of bend down. But it's a tunnel that was dug that he put men on one side, and then he put men on the other side, and they begin to dig. And you know what? They did not even know where they were, but God directed them, and they met up in the middle. Isn't that something? And you can see when you walk through the tunnel, you can see the tunnel turn so many different ways. And how is it that these men ended up on the other side of the wall from the other men? It's because God got it. It was God's divine plan. And so that was how he got water into the city. Amen. And so Hezekiah was a godly man who feared God, and God gave him a plan even when his enemies was all around him. And sometimes when we have been surrounded by troubles and trials, and even when we got bill collectors up to here, we got to realize that God will still give you a plan to maintain life on this side of the wall. Y'all help me today. Y'all with me? And so here it is now. Hezekiah in chapter 20, verse 1, it talks about how Hezekiah, he had some pain. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And it was so to the point that it seemed like Hezekiah was about to die. But it says, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus said the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt surely die and not live. Now, when we look at Hezekiah's condition, he was in pain. Not only was he in pain physically, but he had been cramped politically. Amen. He was in a bad situation. And, you know, even if they had somebody that could come and help him, they couldn't come in the wall because they had been surrounded by the enemy. Come on and say amen. And so here it is, one thing after another, after he had seemed to have gotten victory one time in chapter 19, and then they came back and they threatened him, and they threatened amongst the people, and they wanted to try to scare the people, to try to get them out of faith and put them in fear. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. The enemy wants you to have fear, because fear is the opposite of faith. Amen. Fear is the opposite of faith. But God sent Isaiah to prophesy. And you know one thing? It was not a good prophecy. A lot of times we want to hear good stuff. We want people to prophesy me a car, a house, a good job, a good husband, a good wife. We want people to prophesy all of the stuff. But what we're really asking is that we want somebody to be our fortune teller. We want people to tell us good fortune. But notice what Isaiah did. Isaiah, being the prophet that he was not threatened by what people would say and what they thought of him. He went into the king. Now, you can't just go to the king and say what you want to say. The king could have you killed. But that's how it is when you are a person that's following God. Sometimes people may not like what you have to say. Lord, help me today. It wasn't good, but look at Hezekiah's attitude toward the prophecy. He didn't get mad at Isaiah. He didn't get mad and say, you a false prophet, because he knew that he was a true man of God. Even though he didn't agree with him, he still served God. He still said, you know what? I need to pray. Come on and say amen here. Oh, yeah, I hear what the prophet said, but I need to talk to God myself. Now, that goes to show a whole lot of people, they don't always, when they hear a word from somebody or somebody give them a word, they don't always go to God. They don't always go to God. They just, you know, they get mad or get angry. I don't want to accept it. I don't believe in what you have to say. They don't always go to God, but I'm here to tell you that anytime somebody tells you anything, when it comes from the word of God and you don't know for sure, you just need to go to God. And pray. Come on and say amen here. He was in pain. Then he got this prophecy on top of the pain. Don't you know that he and his whole household was hoping that he would get better? But then here comes Isaiah to tell them some bad news. Oh, hallelujah. It's all right when the bad news is wrong. Amen. Look at this. Verse 2. He says, and he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Now, the second thing I want to point out is, even though he was in pain physically and politically, and he got a word of prophecy that was unfavorable, Hezekiah began to pray. Now, we always talk about prayer. We always talk about how Jesus said man ought to always pray and not to faint. But how many of us actually pray like we should? How many of us can say that prayer is my number one thing I do all day long? We don't do that, do we? We pray in the morning, and then we lay me down to sleep at night. Amen? We should have an open communication with God all of the time. Amen? We should pray to God. And you know, excuse me, and it says that he turned his face to the wall. Hezekiah didn't turn to people. He didn't turn to Isaiah and say, prophesy something else. Pray for me, Isaiah. He said, I'm going to pray for myself. You know why? Because can't nobody talk to God about me the way I can talk to God about me. Won't nobody pray as hard for me as I'm going to pray for myself. Now, I do appreciate you praying with me, but I can talk to the Lord for myself. And because I can talk to God, I know he'll hear me. See, we got to get to a place where we know God hears us. Hezekiah said, I know God hear Isaiah. But Isaiah gave me that prophecy. I don't care what Isaiah said. I'm going to go to God on my own behalf and pray because I'm of the lineage of David. And I know that the Lord will hear the seed of the righteous. Do I have anybody? When we look at it, he says in verse 2 that he turned his face to the wall. Now, a lot of people try to tell you why he turned his face to the wall, this reason and that reason. But I want to tell you that the wall was only just a place of prayer because he was on his sick bed. I wish I had somebody. He didn't want to turn to Isaiah. He wanted to turn to the wall. He didn't want to turn to the servants that was in there. He wanted to turn to the wall. So he turned to the wall because he used it as his place for prayer. One thing to take note of, it is important not to put so much emphasis on the place of prayer more than it is the practice of prayer. Come on and say amen. Sometimes we take more emphasis and put more emphasis on the place, but God is saying for us to make sure we put emphasis on the practice. If we would practice praying more than we practice complaining, oh, where would your life be today? If we would, oh, come on and say amen here. If we would practice praying more than we practice all the other stuff that we practice, come on and say hallelujah, getting on the phone, gossiping, whatever else it is that we do. If we practice that more than we practice repeating the bad report that the doctor said, I wish I had somebody, then where would we be today? It is important for us to practice prayer. But when he prayed, he didn't just pray some dead words. He didn't just get down there like I hear some people pray and they pray, you know, they get repetitions and almost meaningless because there's no heart in their prayer. We got to have some heart in our prayer. Amen. It's more than, you know, how we used to say how people would get down and pray and then their prayer turned into preaching. And you know, then they ask you how you like that prayer. We got to get past it. My prayer is not going to turn into preaching because I'm talking to the Lord. And who else? God don't need me to preach to him. I'm not trying to please the people. I don't want you to shout when I pray. I want you to pray with me when I pray. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. We got to get past that show. Prayer is not a show. Jesus even said that we don't need to be like the Pharisees who stand up and pray with a loud voice, with long, repetitious prayer. But if we can pray short prayers that mean something, God is saying, I can hear you. If all you can say is, Lord, have mercy, God is saying, I can hear you. Help me, Holy Ghost. We got to understand that we have to have a plea to God. His plea, when Hezekiah prayed, let's look at some of what he said here. He turned his face to the wall and he began to pray, saying in verse 3, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth. Maybe that's why some of us want other folks to pray for us, because we can't actually say, Lord, you know, I walk right before you. I tried to be right. My heart is right. I tried to do things and I tried to be in truth. Maybe we can't pray because we know we ain't been right before. Come on and say amen here. We hadn't been right before the Lord. But he says, I walk before you in truth and in a perfect heart. Hezekiah was not saying that I'm perfect. He said, but everything I tried to do the right thing. And sometime doing the right thing, I ended up wrong. But God, you know my heart. And you know that I tried to do all that you wanted me to do. And if we can say that to the Lord, that's all God wants. God does not want you to do everything perfect, because he knows he put you in this flesh, and this flesh is going to be, sometime we're going to be at fault with a whole lot of things. But the thing I love about God is that when I pray, he looks beyond my faults and he sees my every need. And God said, Paul tells us in Philippians that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. So I'm going to the source. I'm not going to the bank. I'm not going to the pharmacy. I'm going to the Lord Jesus, because he has all that I need. Hallelujah. Hezekiah said, I walk right. I try to do the right thing. He said that I did everything right in your sight. And then he began to weep sore. But we got to look at this. Somebody had said once that Hezekiah, when he said that he was kind of self-righteous. He was talking about himself. No, he wasn't self-righteous. Hezekiah was reminding God that I tried. I did what I tried. I tried to do what you wanted me to do. And Lord, and you said, and Hezekiah knew the scriptures, because in Proverbs and even in the Psalms. He said, if you do right, you have long life. He knew that, and he said, God, I'm just reminding you of what you said. You said, if I try to live right, if I obey my parents, come on and say amen. If I do the right thing, God, you said that you would reward me with longevity. Come on and say hallelujah here. And it's still true to us today. We believe that if we choose the right person to serve, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we try to do the right thing, that God will reward us with eternal life. Come on and say amen. When we look at not only Hezekiah's prayer when he was in the place of prayer and the practice of prayer, but look at the posture of prayer. Hezekiah said, I don't have to be on my knees at the temple, but I can lay right here in the bed and I can call on the Lord. And the Bible said that he wept sorely. The word sore means greatly. In other words, he was weeping so and crying so that his prayers didn't come out in a pretty fashion. You know how we try to be pretty when we pray. You know, we try to pronounce and pronunciate all of our words, and we try to make sure we hit every T and dot every I and stuff like that. And we forget that sometimes you just got to be ugly with the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what it is that I done, but Lord, help me to get out of this your mess. Sometimes I don't have time to think about how to say it, because the Bible said the Lord sees my tears. He can wipe them away. And so I just need the Lord to know that even my tears are praying for me. Oh, hallelujah. My tears are saying something. I'm saying that I'm sorry for whatever it is, but I need you right now, Lord. I remember a time when we used to pray and we used to sing a song in the church that said, not my brother, not my sister, not my mother, my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. What happened to that church? What happened to the church that said, I'm the one that needs prayer? Now we're looking at other folks that, yeah, they need to go up there for prayer. What happened to the church that said, you know what, if they're going, I know I need prayer, because I know I'm not doing half as good as they are. Come on and say amen here. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, God. I need you to help me. I need you to change me. I need you to heal me. I need you to deliver me. I need you to comfort me, God. Hallelujah. Oh, we look at his prayer. He wept sorely, the Bible says. Hezekiah wept sore. He wept greatly. He didn't just have a few tears in his eye. No, he didn't just have a few streams of water flowing down his face. But Hezekiah wept till tears was gushing out of his eyes, until he had so much emotion that it affected the way that he spoke to God. I wish I had somebody. You know how when a child is crying and you're trying to talk to him and they can't get it right? Come on and say amen. Don't you know that that's what Hezekiah was doing? He said, I'm not here to be pretty. I'm not here trying to make some kind of formality, but I'm here to formally come to God and say, God, if it had not been for you, and if you don't do it today, it won't get done. I know Isaiah's in the building. I know Isaiah's in the courtyard, but God, I'm not relying on the prophet. I'm coming to you, because only you, God, can heal me. Only you can deliver me. Anybody know that only God can do it? I don't care what your condition is this morning. Your condition is not your conclusion. Hezekiah knew that I'm in a bad condition right now, but if I call on the Lord, maybe God will do something about what I'm going through. Anybody feel like that? I can't call on people to come help me out, but if I just call on God, maybe God will do something about this mess. Maybe God will change my situation, my condition. It's not my conclusion. Let's go on further. I'm almost done now. Verse 4 said, it came to pass. Afore means before. Isaiah was gone out into the middle court. The word of the Lord came to him saying. Now, some people suggest that God changed his mind about Hezekiah. But do you know that God is all-knowing? God knew that if I can just get Hezekiah to pray, Lord have mercy here. You read the first verse said that he was sick unto death. Everybody expected him to die, including himself. Lord help me, Holy Ghost. They had no hope, but God said, I need him to pray so that he can see that he can have confidence in me, that I'll do just what needs to be done. God already knows what he's going to do. He wants us to do something. Oh, a lot of times we're sitting back waiting on God. God said, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to pray. I'm waiting on you to worship. I'm waiting on you to act. Faith without works is dead. God does not move just because you have a need. Lord, y'all thought God did something because I need God, I need you? No, no. He moves when you have faith. Faith is what moves God, not need. If that's the case, everybody in the world that's hungry would be fed right now. And Lord, help me today. So God is saying, I move when there's faith activated. He said, I need to get some negativity out of this house. I need somebody in Hezekiah's house to have faith. And who else better to deal with than Hezekiah himself? When everybody else thought he was gone, God struck some faith in Hezekiah. Oh, look, he said, before Isaiah got out of the middle of the court, the word of the Lord came to him and said, go, turn back, verse 5, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus said the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I've heard thy prayer, and I've seen your tears. And behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. Look at the promise of God. Verse 4 and 6 talks about the promise of God. We see the pain and the prayer, but look at the promise. He promised him, he says that I've heard you and I've seen your tears. Now, we know God hear our prayer, but then God said, I've seen your tears. In other words, God is saying your tears said something. Your tears was a letter to me. Come on, written in tears. I wish I had somebody. He said, I've seen your tears. And he said, and I want to make sure that you understand that I'm turning this thing around. Do you know that all it takes is the right prayer? All it takes is some faith in God, and God can turn this situation around. So your conclusion is not your condition is not your conclusion. I wish I had a few people that understood that God sent Isaiah back to Hezekiah with the promise. Do I have a witness? The same one that gave the bad news is the same one coming with the good news. Oh, come on. Isn't that the same with Jesus? He came and gave him bad news. If you're a sinner, you're going to die and go to hell. But the good news is that I've died that you might have life and that more. Do I have anybody in here that understand that the same way God tell you what's the bad end of it, he'll turn around and give you the good end of it. He said, Isaiah, go back and tell him, I've heard your prayer. He said, I am the God of David, thy father. In other words, I'm the same one that delivered David out of the bear, out of the giant's hand. I wish I had somebody. I've delivered David out of Saul's hand, and the same God that is able to give David victory is going to give you victory over your circumstance. Preaching here. Oh yeah, we got to see what God is saying. God says, go back and tell Hezekiah that the same kind of victory that David had, you're going to have that same victory. So what did he promise him? God promised him first a recovery. And see, some of us, we got to see how God is going to make us recover. We got to see that God is ready to give us some recovery. He said that I'm going to heal you because I've heard your prayer. God going to heal somebody in here today. Oh yeah, because he's heard your prayer. And when God is bringing a recovery, he don't give you a partial recovery, honey. He gives you a full recovery. And sometimes we are looking for God just to make it a little bit better, and God said, I'm gonna make it all better. I'm giving you a full recovery. And you know one thing I love about God, he'll give us these analogies and give us an understanding through natural things. Sometimes when we go to the hospital, and after you've come through the hardest part, which is the surgery, what do? They put you in recovery. And so I'm so glad today that some of us are in recovery. And you see, the thing about recovery is not everybody can come back to the recovery room. Some people have to stand in the waiting room. And so there are some people waiting on you that can't get to you. So don't be looking around at people who's in my room. God said in the recovery is where I want you to rest. God has put you in a place of rest. God is putting you in a place of recovery. And so you can't have everybody coming to look at you and see how you're doing, because they bring some stuff with them. And in recovery, it got to be clean. In recovery, it got to be a peaceful place for you to rest. I wish I had somebody. Can't nobody come in recovery but the doctor and the nurse. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that God, the Holy Spirit, is the only one that's going to help you while you're in the place of recovery. So Hezekiah, I want you to get some rest and recover from this sickness. Do I have anybody here that God has promised to that you're going to get a full recovery? I wish I had somebody. Oh, look at this. Not only did God tell Hezekiah that I'm going to give you a recovery. Yeah, come on, help me out now. Let's see what it's going to do now. He said that I'm promising you that you're going to get a full recovery.